Welcome back to Page of the Wind presents The Wise Man's Page, starring me, Nick.
Hey.
The leader of the group.
No.
And his two sidekicks.
You suck.
Giordano and what's his name?
Don't worry, Giordano. We will destroy him.
Why are you calling me that?
This is page 32. I made my way to the stocks, the storeroom where artificers signed out tools and materials. I was surprised to see a tall, pale student standing at the window, looking profoundly bored. Jaxim, I asked, what are you doing here? This is a scrub job. Jaxim nodded morosely. Kilvin is still a little vexed with me, he said. You know, the fire and everything. Sorry to hear it, I said. Jaxim was a full Relar, like myself. He could be pursuing any number of projects on his own right now. To be forced into a menial task like this wasn't just boring. It humiliated Jaxim publicly while costing him money and stalling his studies. As punishments went, it was remarkably thorough. What are we short on? I asked. There was an art to choosing your projects in the fishery. It didn't matter if you made the brightest sympathy lamp or the most efficient heat funnel in the history of artificing. Until someone bought it, you wouldn't make a bent penny of commission. For a lot of the other workers, this wasn't an issue. They could afford to wait. I, on the other hand, needed something that would sell quickly. Jaxim leaned on the counter between us. Caravan just bought all our deck lamps, he said. We only have that ugly one of Vestin's left. I nodded. Sympathy lamps were perfect for ships. Difficult to break, cheaper than oil in the long run, and you didn't have to worry about them setting fire to your ship. I juggled the numbers in my head. I could make 2 lamps at once, saving some time through duplication of effort, and be reasonably sure they would sell before I had to pay tuition. Unfortunately, deck lamps were pure drudgery. 40 hours of painstaking labor, and if I botched any of it, the lamps simply wouldn't work. Then I would have nothing to show for my time except a debt to the stocks for the materials I'd wasted. Still, I didn't have a lot of options. I guess I'll do lamps then, I said. Jaxim nodded and opened the ledger. I began to recite what I needed, from memory. I'll need 20 medium raw emitters, 2 sets of the tall moldings, a diamond stylus, a tent and glass, 2 medium crucibles, 4 ounces of tin, 6 ounces of fine steel, 2 ounces of nickel. Nodding to himself, Jaxim wrote it down in the ledger. 8 hours later, I walked through the front door of Anchors, smelling of hot.
Yeah, right you did.
Yeah. Like I said...
What is it to smell like hot?
I'm Nick, this is Giordano, and the other guy.
You suck.
I'm the leader, remember?
No, you're not.
The guy at the end
of the
said so.
I think I'm
the leader.
Yo,
the leader of sucking, yo.
I think I should be the leader because I organize you two very well. I just don't do the majority of talking.
Yo, you can't argue with that, yo.
I can, but it's off topic.
Who has the notebooks? Me!
Who cares about the listener's experience?
All of us.
Yo, who's just going to have a good time?
Well, certainly not me, because I hate this.
Okay. So, to the page, I have things, which I really don't want to forget, but I'm starting to forget because we got off on a tangent. No, I need to remember this.
Off air, we had a conversation about emitters.
Yes, I do want to talk about emitters. There was something else I also wanted to talk about.
Well, why don't we start and it'll come back to you.
Emitters it is. Yes, listeners, I had to talk to Nick about emitters before the show so that he wouldn't yell at me about how I don't know anything about emitters and I didn't Google it. So we didn't Google it because apparently it's not a thing.
Well, anything that emits anything could be an emitter.
Fine.
It's a broad term.
We were talking about, in this case, it's kind of like a light bulb.
No, it doesn't refer to anything specifically because
it emits light.
No, we don't even know that.
It's for our imagination because it's a part that we don't quite know what it looks like or what it does for the assembly of this fictional object.
Yeah, we know he has to dope them, whatever that means. And we know
I imagine like he takes like I imagined it as a ring that he like dips in a chemical bath and then it becomes magicified.
That sounds as That's likely like, as anything else.
If you happen to be a patron, you've probably seen the drawing I did of a dissection.
Yeah, that was a really good one. I think we can probably release that to the public.
It hasn't been a year yet.
It's a good
soon,
one.
Soon.
Yeah, soon.
I had an idea of what a sympathy lamp would look like, and it included a donut, which is the emitter. that I imagine, like, you would dip in a chemical bag.
As legitimate as anything else.
And we know he needs 20 of them to make 2 sympathy lamps. So 10 per lamp, presumably.
Oops! That way. Okay, I definitely screwed that up.
Well, what if you stack, like, if he's making, like, a sympathy lamp as opposed to, like, his little, like, handheld one.
Oh, okay.
Then maybe if it works kind of like, you know, a thieves' lantern, maybe he stacks those rings on top of a central core, and that forms the 360, you know, light-emitting sympathy lamp.
Okay.
And I like that there's an in-world reason for why someone would want a sympathy lamp rather than just a lamp. Specifically, you know, they sell a lot to people who work on ships because, for the reasons he outlines, you know, they're cheaper in the long run because you don't have to replace the oil in them. They aren't going to set your ship on fire if they break.
Well, presumably it's wealthy merchants and that the like who can afford deck lamps for their ships.
Yeah.
It's interesting the way that students are situated in the artificery, because they are incentivized to create common and in-demand products. They're not furthering the advancement of artificing. They're not trying to innovate. They're not incentivized to innovate. There's no incentive really to do that unless it's like your thesis project, and they don't really seem to put too much into projects for the sake of academia. It really seems to be... What I'm getting at is that the structure at the university seems to be like, putter around as long as you can afford tuition, and we will profit off you a little bit, and then when you're kind of ready, we'll promote you out.
Well, I have a slightly different read on it, because I think that all that theoretical work and experimentation and learning how to make new things happens in class. What they're doing now is like their free time, right? I think they're probably expected to do some amount of work in the fishery to practice what they've learned. But I think most of this is like, if you want to make some money and help the university out, you can make stuff that will sell for you on commission. You know, I don't think that they're required to do that.
Yeah, but you'd think they would have, you know, a certain amount of orders and they would be a little more structured and say, okay, we have this many workers. We need to bring up this many lamps. So we'll set you to work doing that. But it seems to be build whatever you want, whenever you want, and we'll just sell it.
Yeah, well...
It's kind of a weird pre-industrial attitude.
Yeah, I think they haven't reached, you know, they're still operating under a mercantilist economy rather than a full-blown capitalist economy. And you see, Zavorka has not yet become that most wretched of commodities, commodities themselves.
And the worker has not yet been alienated from the labor.
Yes, Kvos is not yet alienated from his labor. He is, however, being somewhat exploited by the university because he, like all the students, he's sort of indentured because the university controls the means of production. And by that, I mean they have all the raw materials he needs and he has to pay them.
Yeah, he's on the hook for the materials.
Yeah, so if he doesn't make a profit off of his 60% commission, so they're dinging him twice, right? Because he has to pay for the materials and he gets 60% of whatever it sells for. So if he doesn't make a profit for that, he could end up in debt, which would be really bad for someone in his financial position. Now, we can assume that Kvothe has made enough sympathy lamps by this point that he kind of knows what he's doing, and that's not likely, but accidents happen. Jordana,
okay,
you are bursting with things.
Yeah, I really am. Kvothe's really smart by his own account. He thinks he's very intelligent, but lamps are hard, apparently.
He says they're not hard, they're just tedious.
Yeah, but there's some part of him that doesn't trust him not to screw it up, because he's saying, well, like, if I don't get it right, I'm going to be totally screwed.
I think it's
like,
more what Jeremy's saying, which is that there is a bit of a risk involved, where if he makes a small mistake, all the time investment is wasted, and he's out the price of the materials. It's less that he's, like, worried he's not going to be able to do it.
With all that confidence, you don't think he'd be confident enough to be like, I won't make a mistake. I'm Kvothe.
I also think he's just a good storyteller and he knows how to throw in some stakes to an otherwise mundane task.
Fine.
I mean, I do think you're onto something in that I don't think sympathy lamps are easy for every artificer to make, necessarily. You know, I think Kvothe, by his own account and by the account of these books, picks things up faster than a lot of other students. So sympathy lamps are probably something that, like, someone in their second year of being an Allier might have some idea how to make, but Kvothe got, like, you know, kind of took to it right away. And he already made himself one, right? Like, that was impressive to Kilvin. So I think we can safely assume that, like, not every student makes sympathy lamps to keep themselves in drinking money. And that's probably why there's less of them in stock, right?
Like, someone just, now they're all sold out.
Yeah, so, and, like, there weren't as many in stock as there were of Flim Flams and Gigas and, you know, Splendors. because those are easier for other students to make, so there's more of them in stock.
Well, Kuroth also has an intrinsic grasp of supply and demand. So mm-hmm. he goes right away to what's needed.
What can I sell the fastest? Yeah. Now, Jaxim, I seem to recall that we were introduced to him in the last book, but yes. I don't remember if it was established that he is held responsible for the fire that happened in the fishery.
It must be, otherwise this wouldn't make any sense.
Jaxim is being punished because he was nominally the Rillar in charge at the time, and Quoth went to him and said, hey, that tar canister looks a little frosty.
Right.
And Jaxim shrugged it off.
Right. Gotcha. So he was, like, the floor manager at the time.
Yeah, or at least he was, like, the ranking student. Like, right. He wasn't, like, Kamar. He wasn't, like, a senior or a Scriv or anything like that. But, what's the, not the term, Scriv, but what's the equivalent of the grad student they have?
Rillar. Elir.
No, it's
Alpha.
No, it's not that, but it's like Viari, the guys who...
Oh, the guys who travel around and get them stuff.
Yeah, but that's what they do if they're working for the library. What are they...
Well,
what's
Kamar,
the general term for
Kamar
that?
Kamar is...
I don't remember.
Student. Okay, whatever. He's not like an employee, right? He's just sort of like the senior student.
Yeah. It's like leaving the kid you trust most in charge of the class while you go out for your smoke break.
Yes, which is a great idea.
Yeah, the teachers are very responsible.
Will never backfire.
And this is an instance of Rothfuss sort of trusting us to remember something that happened in the last book, which is that there was a disastrous fire in the fishery.
But it also doesn't matter so much that he needs to remind us exactly on this page. He doesn't say, like, there was a fire and I saved Fella.
Yeah.
He just says, there was a fire. If you are a reader who is remembering, you'll be like, all right, that fire. But it doesn't matter if you miss it, which is kind of neat.
Let's talk a little bit about Jaxim's position, because I don't understand, why does this cost him money?
Because he can't make money making fancy things.
Okay, so it's because it's costing him time, therefore it is costing him money.
Yeah. Well, time is money.
Indeed.
As I'm sure our friend Carl here would
explain. See, under a capitalist society, the worker has no time to pursue those things that make life worth living. If they are not producing, then they are not earning. Much
the
like
only
in the mafia.
Truly finite resource is time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Und land.
And we never know how much we have.
Interestingly, Jaxim is also the student who had access to a printing press and helped Quoth print the copies of Jackass for postering.
Right. Oh. Fun things about Jaxim.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they described how Jaxim looks before.
Tall and pale.
Well, no, I know. They do it on this page.
It doesn't matter at all.
Yeah. It's just color.
But I kind of imagine him like ghostly in this because he's like so bored, he's just like fading away.
Mm. I imagine him looking exactly like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, wow. That's rather specific.
This is the second time today you brought up Benedict Cumberbatch.
Really?
Only because he's great. And I love him.
I mean, he makes a good dragon.
He makes a good lot of things.
Fair.
But yeah, listeners, sidebar, the best behind-the-scenes scene ever shot is the behind-the-scenes stuff of him as Smaug. Do yourself a favor, check it out on YouTube. It's delightful. More delightful than anything else those movies produced. I know that you gave this line read a certain emphasis when you read it, but I like that Quoth knows what he needs from memory, not because he's a smart special boy, but because he's had to do it a bunch, because this is clearly his bread and butter.
The way that Nick reads it, though, is because he's a special boy.
Yes.
Like, with the connotation that Nick reads
it with. I think narrator Quoth has also taken the time to remind us that he's a smart special boy.
Well, he is, so we should.
Yeah.
Maybe we're all smart special people.
Not as smart as Quoth, though.
I'm just saying. There's no reason that we can't all be smart and special.
Yeah, in our own
except
ways.
For the fact that we're not.
Everyone's different, Nick.
Look. Hoobs amongst us has been kissed by the blessing of having fae blood, learned sex craft from the personification of desire itself, and has double ninja sex while learning their secret arts.
Hey, I'm still young. I'll get there.
You know what? It could happen.
That's
it
right.
Could happen. Yep. Don't go for the gold.
Never say never.
Don't let your dreams be memes, friends.
Yes. Well, that's a very inspiring moment to perhaps end the episode on.
Very well.
Had something else
let us inspire as we depart this day.
Let us inspire lest we expire.
And let's find out why exactly Quoth smells of hot on tomorrow's page.
The wind!